For the next half hour, we will peek behind the big stories we are all talking about today. The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station. Now, your host of The Lunch Bunch, Andrew Hawthorne.
Tis I. It was a long weekend, and it was a very long weekend. A lot of stuff happened over the weekend that I'm sure absolutely nobody's talking about and definitely didn't take up most of Open Line today. So, nothing controversial happening. I hope we're all having a nice, relaxed day. And joining me here in the studio today, Elise Stewart. How are you doing, Elise, from Common Front NL?
I'm doing well. Thank you, Andrew. Thank you for having me.
Oh, it's always a pleasure, you know.
I know. Thank you.
We're going to be talking about something that's trending online. A lot of people are talking about it, and perhaps the social connotations of this, and that would be OK Boomer, which is
going to... Okay, OK Boomer.
Have you ever OK Boomered somebody?
I've certainly OK Boomer in my head. Have I done it out loud? Not yet.
I have.
But I'm waiting for this opportunity.
Never to actually a boomer, though, because...
Yeah. No.
To be honest, most of the boomers I know are pretty nice. So
yeah, same here.
Not
same
having
here.
Problems. The generation that didn't trust anyone over 30 is over 30. And so they're having some problems with that. What's going on right now, if you're not familiar, is trending online. People kind of doing OK Boomer as a dismissive thing to folks who are closed-minded or resistant to change. And it received a lot of international attention when Chloe Swarbuck, a 25-year-old New Zealand parliamentarian, a 25-year-old parliamentarian, by the way, during a debate on carbon emissions, said this.
In the year 2050, I will be 56 years old. Yet, right now, the average age of this 52nd parliament is 49 years old. Okay, Boomer. Current political institutions have proven themselves incompetent at thinking outside of a short political term.
Yeah, she was being interrupted by an older dude. Mm-hmm. And shut him down pretty quick. First thoughts on this? Is this rude?
Yeah, you know, I think that my first thoughts were I might have fist pumped. I might have done a little like, wow, to be impressed not only the fact that this person is 25 years old and taking on this like very large, I think this large conversation we've had a lot is like we're making systems and making decisions that only have a very short, you know, short-term end game to them. But we need to think bigger. We need to think about the impact of our decisions 20, 50 years down the road. But that doesn't seem to happen. So that was something I certainly enjoy hearing about anywhere. But the fact that she just kept on going, like she wasn't going to be disrupted. She wasn't going to let anybody move her away from her what she was saying. And I think the rude part was those folks that are yelling and dismissing her in the first place.
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, you know, and you just reminded me of something. You brought up fist bumping. And of course, we've got former President Barack Obama in town today. How you doing? Thanks, Obama. You're in town.
Why are you on the show with us right now?
I know, right?
Come on.
All the cool people are. Yeah. And of course, he couldn't even win for losing when he and Michelle fist bumped. And then everybody is suddenly like, that's probably a terrorist hand signal. And like, is this that kind of overreacting where people are like, okay, boomer? What's your personal opinion on that?
Yeah, I think in terms of the reaction to OK Boomer, and I actually read some of her interviews afterwards, and she talked about this being the response of collective exhaustion that millennials and elder millennials are feeling. You know, we're trying to have these big conversations about climate change, about a system that isn't working, and people of a certain generation, which are predominantly occupying these spaces that she's in, you know, in our parliaments and our governments, are not listening, and they're just continuing to do business as usual, and we keep saying that it's not working, and it gets frustrating, it gets exhausting to continue to have those conversation. So that's what she described it as this, you know, this collective ugh that a lot of folks are feeling towards this generation of people that aren't willing to have these conversations and aren't willing to realize that, you know, we understand that perhaps we're not going to agree on things and that we're coming from very different places. I've seen some responses by younger folks saying, you know, why can't we be more thankful? You know, these boomers have done a lot for us. We should just say thank you and move on. I think there's a conversation that needs to happen and should continue to happen is that you can be thankful and hold people accountable. Those are two truths that can exist in the same space, and we need to make more space for that to happen. So by saying, okay, boomer, it's like, I get that you are feeling frustrated, but why don't you listen to all these reasons why we're frustrated? You know, precarious work, climate change, all of these issues that, again, aren't being addressed, I think, adequately, which talks to this exhaustion that folks are feeling.
Interesting. Me and the rest of Generation X are just going to go off into the corner and have a cup of tea. In the meantime, listen to these messages, and we'll be right back talking about OK Boomer with Elise Stewart. Stay tuned.
Now back to Andrew Hawthorne and the Lunch Bunch on VOCM.
Asking the tough questions on the Lunch Bunch with Andrew Hawthorne. Elise Stewart, for example, what are you going to watch first on Disney Plus?
That's a tough one. As a Muppets, I would say, fanatic, I'm going to go through every Muppets movie that I can possibly get my hands on.
There's a lot of Muppets on there, yeah.
Yeah, you know, challenge accepted.
They've got the new ABC series that everybody hated too, which I loved.
My counterpart was going to be like, that was one of my favorite TV shows to ever appear, and it was canceled too soon.
So quickly. Too soon. Everybody was angry that like Kermit and Piggy had broken up and that it was caustic, and I'm like, the Muppets, they're caustic. They've always been like that.
Yeah.
It's okay. All right, good. Let's go watch the Muppets after this.
I love that.
But first, let's keep talking about OK Boomer. And we've got kind of a stirring generation war here happening. And do you think it's fair? You know, the millennials have been kicked around for a while. Definitely. Them and their avocado toast and their whatever.
Yeah.
Do you think it's fair to have directed all of the... This is a backlash of that, I guess, is how I feel. Do you think it's fair to direct all that at just the boomers? No. What did they do? They've got really great music, for starters.
Lots of good things. I think that anytime that we try and simplify these huge concepts, we're going to get into a lot of trouble, right? Anytime we try and pit generations against each other, we're going to see how that is... It's going to lead to these conversations that we're having, which is, I think, a good thing. But it's also going to make a lot of people very upset because, you know, not me... we know from the Me Too era movement, it was not all men came out as a hashtag. And we have to learn, I think we're starting to do that, how to have these conversations in a more nuanced way, in a more complex way. We are not saying that every single boomer is a bad, terrible person that has done all these things on purpose. But we are saying that you have benefited from these systems for a very long time, that now we are unfortunately reaping the consequences of in many ways, including climate change and these big, big issues that aren't going to be solved overnight. Of course not. But we need to be able to have these conversations in a way that doesn't pit people against each other, but recognizes that there is space for accountability. There is space for truth to exist with accountability. You shared on your Twitter, which I really loved, about this idea of free speech that has come up, you know, I think over the past 4 years quite a bit. Free speech is sometimes used as a catch-all. Oh, I can't say anything anymore. Okay, that's against my free speech. You can certainly say what you want to say. You're not going to go to jail. But you can be prepared to be held accountable by people that maybe those words hurt, by these ideas that are going to affect large proportions of our population. So you have to be willing to, I think, put yourself out there in some ways to have those conversations and sometimes bear the consequences.
Do you think that, is this the millennial don't trust anybody over 30 moment that they finally kind of got a mimetic sword to throw back in the face of folks who've been dismissing them for so long? Is it just that anger, or is it something more than that?
Yeah, I think it's certainly more than anger, because with it comes a larger level of education and seeing the strings behind the puppet show, right? We're recognizing, wow, billionaires shouldn't exist. Wow, climate change has been happening for a long time and we haven't addressed it. You know, these larger concepts are coming into play, and we have been accused a long time. We talked about avocado toast, that we don't, you know, that we are entitled, we are this, we are that. And it's, I think all the things are coming to fruition to realize, actually, no, we're facing some really huge challenges here as a generation with, again, precarious work, really low minimum wage, all of these issues that we're not going to accept anymore as that's just how it should be. So there's, I hope that this grows into more conversations about, let's not focus on generation versus generation, but let's focus on what system change can look like for both of these generations.
Yeah, because what do you think that does look like? Because if you look at what both generations are dealing with right now in terms of issues, we had a story on VOCM.com today that, you know, we've got an aging population here, but we don't have a lot of people in the workforce. And by workforce, what we are really talking about are low-paying minimum wage jobs. We're not talking about the high jobs, because a lot of those jobs aren't there anymore, or they're filled.
Right.
And so on the millennial perspective, you have the skilled labor jobs, the high wage jobs are filled with people who aren't retiring or won't retire. And so the millennials are getting contract work. They're getting unpaid internships. They can't get a foothold into a place that has a pension or leads to those jobs. All they can get is minimum wage. On the other hand, because we have an aging population, you have seniors who don't have those jobs, who are retired, who are being forced back into the workforce because they don't have the retirement funds that are secured, or there's just not the people out there to be doing this stuff. Yeah. What is the solution to both those problems? I don't know.
Do I? Yeah.
You better solve it.
I better do it right now. What do we have, 2 minutes?
Yes.
So I think that you hit the nail on the head with a lot of those things, is that a lot of the issues that we're fighting about with each other are actually issues that are affecting us all in a very similar way. Having wage inequality affects seniors, it affects young people, it affects all of these things. You know, I recently saw a tweet, which I really like to shout out, which was a millennial saying, I don't need more jobs. In fact, I have 3 minimum wage jobs now. I need a better job. The answer isn't more jobs, it's better jobs. The answer is having pharmacare for our older folks so that they don't have to go back into the workforce and work at these minimum wage jobs. So they have these protections, this social net. And for a long time, the social net is something that Canadians have been really proud of. You know, we have healthcare, we have these large social security infrastructure set up, but we're seeing that those structures are falling apart kind of before our eyes. And now we're recognizing that when those systems fall apart, it affects everybody. It affects young people, it affects old people. And a great way to not look at actually the failure of the system is to look at the people that are being failed by the system. So it's easier to point fingers at Gen X, Gen Y, Gen anything than to be like, well, we need to look at what our healthcare system is missing. We need to look at why there's so many low-wage jobs. We need to question the presence of billionaires in these large, I guess, failures of our society in many ways.
To deal with those things.
Exactly.
You know, and as you said, the Medicare and these social security nets that we've had that we're proud of, I mean, we've been touting our healthcare all over the world and waving it in the Yanks' face like it's nobody's business. That stuff is in danger. Even now, Jason Kenney in Alberta, they're talking about pulling out of all of that stuff as a bargaining chip, basically, to try to get people to support their industry. And education and healthcare often do suffer when we're in times of inequality.
Definitely.
Why are we at that place? Why are we in this weird Jekyll and Hyde space where Canadians will at the same time be okay jeopardizing those things and using them as a bargaining chip and, you know, proudly wave the flag and talk about healthcare?
Yeah, I think this is something that there's going to be many political science classes that are going to look at. How did we get here? How did we get to Wexit? What was happening? And we always, you talk about our relationship with America, we negate a lot of times how impacted we are by what happens in the United States of America. And those ideas of populism, the alt-right, all of those, I think, really scary ideas have made it here. And not only have they made it, they've done really well. So we thought that as Canadians, you know, we have this ideal of what we are, you know, I'm doing finger quotes, like what we're supposed to be like. You know, we're nice. We like healthcare. We like these things. But we're also impacted by a lot of things that are happening in the United States, including privatizing all of these public sector employees, public sector areas that has a huge impact on how services are delivered to folks. And Jason Kenney and the Wexit phenomenon, that didn't come from nowhere. That has been brewing for a very long time. It's been supported by, I mean, it has come out that the leaders of Wexit are very famous alt-right organizers that have a long history of doing a lot of the terrible things that they're currently doing. So,
but the danger is when those guys like find purchase in people who have real-world frustrations like they're having in the industry in Alberta. We're going to take a quick break, and when we get back, we're going to continue trying to solve all of the country's problems in the next 10 or 20 minutes or so. Please stay tuned.
Now back to Andrew Hawthorne and the Lunch Bunch on VOCM.
We're back. We're talking about millennials and boomers and how they just can't get along. And then, you know, I self-identify as Gen X, somewhere in the middle. And to all of this, we just like to say, whatever, man. You don't know me, Dad. A recent study came out about all of this. Not exactly about all this, but I'm going to relate it. It was published in Science Advances, showing that people have been complaining about millennials since at least 624 BC. Not exactly about millennials, but about kids these days.
Kids these days.
We have been hating on our kids since 624 BC. Presumably the kids hating back at us ever since then as well. And of course, like, you know, the boomers who are getting the brunt of all of this ageism backlash, they hated their parents too.
Yeah, definitely.
So I don't know. I guess this is just the human condition. How do we get beyond this? Elise Stewart.
Oh, my goodness. Just the hitting me with the tough questions here today. I think we get beyond it by continuing to have conversations. You know, you're not going to get anywhere if you keep not being willing to have a dialogue about how things change and things get difficult. And just because you were able to buy a mortgage at the age of 21 doesn't mean that I am able to do that. In fact, it's, you know, few and far between that you find folks that are able to afford that now because of all the issues that we've been talking about. So understanding that, you know, struggle looks different with different generations. Struggle still exists. But there's also, you know, a reality that your struggle looks different than mine. And maybe, you know, you've benefited from some of my struggles. Maybe you've benefited from this system that means precarious work is more popular. Maybe you've benefited by Amazon being able to ship things everywhere and automating workers. So, you know, there is a lot of tough conversations to have. And I think that there are a lot of boomers that want to have these conversations. And there's a lot of millennials that want to have these conversations. We talked about in the break how, unfortunately, what seems to be pervasive among social media is the idea that that isn't happening. But I think a lot of places it is happening a lot of the time. You know, it's happening at kitchen tables. It's happening all throughout this province. It is also facing the stark reality of what this looks like in real terms of having an aging and shrinking population. Like, we need young people yesterday. So that conversation has to be expedited in many ways.
How do we get the young people? You're a young people. How do we make Newfoundland the hip new destination for all of the cool kids to come?
I'm a young people still. I still fit under that, I think, umbrella.
I'm going
though.
To interpolate you as a young
yes,
person.
Yes.
Hey, youth.
I'm youthish. I'm youngish. Sure. I think that we start to listen to millennials. Like, what if we, Newfoundland and Labrador, are the province that actually listens to the things that millennials and boomers are talking about? So what if we institute pharmacare? What if we are the first place to have universal childcare? I think that that would make us not only hip and cool and many ways, but make us a place where people can build their lives. Our organization has talked for 4 years about how do you give people the tools to build their life here. We know what the tools are. We're just having a really hard time in giving people those tools. We know that universal health care, I mean, we know that universal child care would be a huge step for many people to be able to stay here. Having an increased minimum wage, we've been doing a lot of work on the minimum wage.
And what's interesting about the things you're talking about, you know, the immediate response, and this would be an okay boomer moment. Mm-hmm. If okay boomer is a thing where you are hurling that at somebody who is resistant to change.
Yeah.
The response to all that is that's very expensive and mm-hmm. we are a province with immense financial difficulties, which is correct. However, mm-hmm. Studies particularly around childcare show that universal childcare, or at least a very discounted mm-hmm. one, in this country is less expensive than what we have right now.
Correct.
Because we provide a small service in terms of the cost of the childcare, and we get, you know, mothers and fathers back in mm-hmm. the tax-paying job area, providing jobs, spending money, paying taxes, and the province ends up getting more money in the long run.
Yeah, definitely. And I think in terms of like these okay boomer being dismissing the idea of change, that can be applied to more than just boomers, which is a really good point. And
poor old boomers
getting all the heat. But it is about having conversations that things cannot keep going the way that they are going. This current way that we do things, it is obviously not working. You mentioned the huge deficit that we're going to probably see a budget within the next month and a half. I mean, it's probably going to be a really tough budget, and it will be hard to imagine that we'll be able to come out of this budget or come out of these next few years having a province that people want to live in. But now it is more important than ever to do those really big moves. Now is more important than ever to look at, okay, it's not just about kind of holding on by our fingernails, but actually getting up over the cliff and being able to build something here. So those tools need to be, I think, very long-term and reaching.
Let's go to the tape. You want to answer some comments we've got going on? That's
yes.
over on Twitter. So at DH2410Hayes, I can't read your name. You're less numbers, folks. He's posting, millennial here, on the fence with how I feel about the OK Boomer thing. I respect my elders, but the dismissive attitude mm-hmm. of a lot of baby boomers have is getting old. On the other side, it seems that some of the Gen Xers are using it in a derogatory way. That's my dilemma.
Wow.
That makes
pointed,
sense.
Pointed.
Yeah. I like it.
I like it.
That's a very measured and appropriate response.
I think
response.
That's a good way to think about it. And I said in the beginning, you can still be thankful and hold people accountable. You can still recognize that your grandparents and your parents did a lot to try and make your life better, but realize that there are some big ways that did not work out, that we're dealing with the effects of now. And not that they knew it going into it. Nobody had a crystal ball. But instead of being defensive about these failures, I think boomers can realize, wow, maybe we actually have a part to play in making things better with the time that we have left together.
So speaking of which, Gregory Harding on Twitter as well also said, speaking of billionaires, Bill Gates recently commented on taxing billionaires. He's worth over $105 billion. He says, if I'm taxed $100 billion, I'm going to have to do some saving. Wow.
Wow. Bill Gates, I thought you were better at numbers than that.
If only. You'll leave me with a measly $7 billion. Poor old Bill
Gates.
That I
actually can't spend in my lifetime. Which literally impossible to spend in a lifetime.
Barely possible to make in a lifetime.
Exactly.
It's interesting because Bill Gates, of course, is held up as somebody who uses his money publicly very well. But, you know, you've said a couple of times there shouldn't be billionaires. And, you know, there's a lot of stuff online about that. What do you mean by that?
I think that accumulating the amount of wealth that billionaires have accumulated at an exponential rate is fundamentally immoral in many ways, because that money is concentrated in such a small area that those folks are never even going to be able to spend. Bill Gates has more money than he will ever be able to spend. And certainly Bill and Melinda Gates are propagated as this, you know, the ideal of philanthropy. They're still making a lot of money from workers that are making nothing to build their products. And the capital gains that they are making on this massive amount of money, it's just, to me, it's disproportionate to the amount that they're actually putting in. So I think that billionaires it just literally makes no sense. I know there's a new Netflix kind of special on that, but explain.
What?
About billionaires?
Listen, we're talking about Disney Plus here
today. Oh, sorry,
today.
Disney Plus. Disney Plus, please make something about Walt Disney Corporation, which also probably has billions of dollars.
Oh, no! Yeah. we've only got a second left. Otherwise, I would get into that. We'll come back and talk about billionaires some other day. We'll have a billionaire on the show and talk about it. We won't. What's coming front end L up to, Elise?
So we are focusing on the minimum wage review, which is going to be coming up shortly. So they're on April 1st, we have a CPI increase to minimum wage, which should be happening. But there's a review that's also happening right now looking at maybe there's another way to do minimum wage. And of course, with these conversations that we're having, we think that there is definitely a better way to do minimum wage and make it so that people can afford to live in this province, including young people who largely work precarious minimum wage jobs.
Hooray. Can you come back and tell us when you've fixed all those problems for us?
I can't wait. Tomorrow work for you.
That's fine. Elise Stewart, thank you very much for listening to the VOCM Lunch Bunch with me, Andrew Hawthorne, Claudette Burns in there operating my board. Thank you, Claudette. Appreciate you playing clips and things like that. Stay tuned for On Target St. John's. We got Linda Swain coming into the studio right now. And of course, we'll be back tomorrow at 12:30 with another Lunch Bunch that I'm sure will be as incendiary as this one. Thank you very much for listening. Have a very good Tuesday.